This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack, but with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Watley on KLZ 560.
Thank you so much for being with us today, and welcome to the show. My name is Scott Watley, and we appreciate you being with us. We're going to kick off today's show with a good friend of ours, Will Marquette. Will is the president of Davis Tents, and if you've been around Denver very long and in the outdoors at all, and maybe not even the hunting side, just the camping side, you know the name, Davis Tents, and have been around for many years here in the Denver area, and they do a tremendous job supporting a lot of our conservation groups, Rocky Mountain Elk, and just a lot of great groups, and it is always great to be able to talk with Will Marquette, which I said is the president. So, Will, hey, you're probably glad you're not the president today, but how are you, sir?
Yeah, you know, if I think I've got problems.
Man, that guy.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
Hey, it's always good to have you on, and you know, we are in a unique time, and for us all, no matter what you do and what business you're in, I mean, first of all, we certainly want to wish everyone to stay healthy and, you know, take this thing serious from that standpoint of just, you know, hey, doing all you can to wash your hands. We've heard that a bazillion times, and just to kind of honor some of these guidelines that are set out, because I mean, we do want to get a handle on this where we can get everybody back open. And I do love what President Trump said the other day. He has a kind of a goal in mind by Easter. I don't know if that's going to happen or not, but man, that's a good target. So I'm all for that.
Well,
but,
you know, the way I look at it is we should all always think family first.
Sure.
And so obviously we have a lot of other things going on, and we gotta pay the rent and all those kind of things. But you know, if ourselves and our family isn't healthy, then nothing else matters.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Well, let's talk about tents. Hey, let's talk about something fun and, hey, the hunting season and all that. So hopefully they won't cancel that on us. But I'll tell you.
Better not.
You know. And I've talked about this, you know, a lot of times. There's a lot of guys. I was at a National Wild Turkey Banquet, the last banquet we got to do before they all got canceled. And, you know, a lot of guys were just talking about, you know, tents and Davis Tent. And, I mean, like I say, it is the name in tents, especially here in our state. And so for those that maybe aren't familiar and they're thinking, hey, we might want to do some stuff with getting out with camping or whatever, just kind of give us a little history of Davis Tents and where you are today.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Art Davis is the founder of Davis Tent. Great guy. In fact, Art is still around. His grandson, who's our production manager here, likes to say he's still kicking, just not quite as high. Art started making saddles and repairing shoes back in the 50s. And that kind of morphed into, you know, his career and sewing and sewing machines and understanding quality materials. And he ended up running a shop that was over 100 sewers, so just a huge sewing shop. And then eventually in the 70s started Davis Tent. And so, you know, really a neat history and a neat background, and you know, where the focus has always been on, you know, the highest quality product possible.
Mm-hmm.
And the other, one of the cool things that, you know, we've always done here and Art always did was, you know, we don't sell through retailers. You're not going to find us in any of the big box stores. We deal with one customer at a time. And just through those relationships,
sure.
You know, we parlayed that into, you know, one of the two big canvas tent makers in the country. So pretty
right.
Cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
Pretty cool.
You can check out the website, davistent.com. And once again, they're the home of the canvas wall tent, outfitter tents, glamping tents, and a great part made in the USA. Hey, we all want to support that. And
Every stitch.
So that's a great thing as well. So let's talk about a little bit from the business standpoint, how you guys are handling everything. And I know you were telling me a little bit before we came on air, you know, you're still wanting to help people. And so kind of guide us through how things are working today.
Yeah, well, you know, as we touched on briefly earlier, I mean, the most important thing to us is that obviously all our employees and their families are healthy. And so, what we've done is we can process online orders and do some administrative stuff from the shop. But, you know, our sewers are, you know, literally world-class sewers, and people like that, it's what they do. It's not just what they do at work. I mean, they a lot of times have heavy-duty industrial sewing machines at home. And so a lot of those people are working from home now, either with their own machines or machines we've set them up with. So it's not as efficient, obviously, as doing it out of the shop directly, but they're able to stay at home and stay safe and still, keep us mostly on track, you know, possibly a little longer delivery times. But, you know, we're answering the phones as normal, either from homes or, you know, however it's whatever works the best. And
sure.
You won't, unless you tried to stop and come into our shop, which wouldn't work because
right.
We're not open. You literally, other than that, wouldn't notice any difference talking to us right now than any normal time of life for the year.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. And their phone number, by the way, is 303-561-1817, 303-561-1817. And it seems like a big game season is a long ways away right now, but I'm telling you, it's going to be here before we know it. The draw, we've got to get our draw choices here in the next few days. And so, hey, if you've been thinking about getting a tent and want to talk with Will or one of his team members there, give him a call, 303-561-1817, and be sure you let him know.
Scott.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm sorry. If I just wanted to interject, you know, I think it's kind of funny with everybody – you know, kind of life on hold, we are getting more calls from hunters right now talking about hunting season because they cannot. Yeah,
I know.
Our call volume is, it's really high.
Yeah.
I mean, people are, look, I mean, life will return to normal. And people have time right now a lot of times, and they're calling us and talking about what they're thinking about or getting their tent on the way because they understand our lead times might be a little bit longer than they have been in the past.
Sure. Once again, that number, 303-561-1817. And be sure you let them know you heard about them here on KLZ 560, and we'd appreciate that as well. So, Will, when you're walking through someone, maybe their first tent, I mean, what's kind of that kind of interview process that you use to make sure that you get them the tent that they really have in mind? Because some of us, hey, we just know we need a tent. We don't really even know all the different possibilities that are out there today and all the different things you can do.
Oh, absolutely. I think, you know, the number one question is, where are you calling me from? And the reason that's number one is because some states, there's six of them in the country, require a tent to be fire treated. So we need to know where they're calling from. And it's also important to know with that issue is that the fire treatment rules are that we as a manufacturer can't ship a non-fire treated tent to certain areas, but you can pick it up somewhere else and then use it in that state. So fire treatment's
okay.
Number one, but number two is definitely how many people are you going to hunt or how many people do you want to camp, you know, with this tent? Because, you know, if you buy a 10x10 tent, like for a nylon camping tent, you know, they're going to say that's rated for six people. I mean, we all know six people don't actually fit. but reasonably, you could sleep four in there and have some gear, right?
Right.
But it's totally different when you're looking at a hunting camp because we're on cots and we got a wood stove. And so we think of a 3 or 4 man hunting tent as a 14x16 tent. So, you know, working through on the front end and just making sure that people understand the different space setups that a camping tent, you know, how you do that versus what you're going to do with a hunting tent is, you know, really right up front.
Absolutely.
Understanding how many people are in camp and if that's what they always do or should we do something more modular for them that, you know, gets them set up to hunt with two guys when they want to do that or five guys when they want to do that. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's kind of the starting spot.
And, you know, a few guys I've talked to that said they were going to come and talk with you guys over the last several months. And I've always said, you know, it's kind of like when you are going to have to move and you get that U-Haul truck and you go, oh, I'll take the 12-foot. And, man, nobody ever said, oh, man, look how much room we got left. Everybody's like, man, I wish we'd have got one bigger. I always tell everybody, you know, man, get something a little, because you know what? It's nice to have a little extra room. And, man, you know, it's a bummer when you're like, oh, my goodness, I don't have room to put this, and this in here, and I wanted to.
Scott, if I had a nickel for everybody that ever told me their tent was too big, I'd have about three nickels.
Absolutely.
But if I had a nickel for everybody that told me their tent was too small, I'd probably be a millionaire. So, you know, it's just amazing how that issue right there, you know, drives a lot of new sales because people bought a 12x14 when they needed a 14x16.
Right. But that's, that's what's great about having you guys there, your in-field experience. Because, you know, a lot of us, we may go to, and I'm not cutting down big box stores, but we may go to any store, and that salesperson just not have a clue, never done anything about what we're doing, so they really can't help you. And then all of a sudden you make a bad buying decision, where with you guys, you're there to walk us through every step of this and help us think of everything. And then it's, hey, it's our option to add that or not get that, whatever, but at least we were told. And I think that's a huge added value there at Davis Tent with just your staff.
You know, and I think another thing that people just, you know, how would you know? But the difference, a 12x14 base price on a tent is $749. Well, 14x16, which is going to give you a lot more room, the base price is $884. So you're talking about $140 difference. You know, it's not, you know, we're not talking about $500 or $1,000 or something. You're talking about very small differences to go that next size up. And then all the accessories don't really cost anymore. A window is a window, right? So a window on a 12x14 is the same as a window is on a 14x16. So, you know, you just have that very small base price difference. And so, you know, it really should be about what you need, what works for you, what's your use case, you know, how do you hunt or where do you hunt, and more than it should be about worrying about it being a lot more to go to that next size tent.
Gotcha. Great. Well, once again, Will Marquette is our guest. He's the president of Davis Tent. Go check him out online, davistent.com. And, again, if you've got questions, they are answering the phones, and they're still there to support you. If you maybe you've already bought a tent, you want to get some extra things, you need something delivered, whatever, they will try to help you in every way they can through this time that is really new for all of us. And, Will, man, in our last couple of minutes here, but, I mean, no manual for what we're going through right now, so we're all just trying to do the best we can.
Oh, man, I know. It's, you know, I just, you know, I can't say it enough. I mean, number one, you know, let's get ourselves healthy and safe. I'm pretty confident that we'll have a really strong economic bounce back. Our economy was awesome going into this.
Yep.
And, you know, we're going to hear all this wildly bad news, which is really bad news, like 3.4 million people getting laid off in the last month.
Sure. Yeah.
But I just feel like this is just going to be, it's going to be a dip like we've never seen, and it's going to be a bounce back like we've never seen.
I 100% agree with you. So we look forward to that too. And hey, man, like I say, we'll be getting into our hunting season here pretty quick, and we'll talk about that. But hey, we'll get you on here again in a few weeks, and just wanted to touch base with you and see how everything was going for you guys. So glad to know you're still there to help our listeners. So we appreciate that.
Well, thanks a bunch. And, you know, everybody, anybody that picks up the phone here at Davis Tent is a tent expert. I do pick up the phone a lot of times. Maybe you'd catch me, but whether it's Kyle or Chris or Taylor or Karina or myself or someone else, they know all about tents, and they'll help you any way we can.
All right, Will. Hey, man, we appreciate it so much, and we'll be in touch, sir.
All right, take care, Scott.
All right, that's Will Marquette, president of Davis Tent. DavisTent.com. Give them a call, 303-561-1817. We'll be right back. Knowledge in Reverse is brought to you by Steve Hurley with Affordable Interest Mortgage.
Wondering if a reverse mortgage is the right decision for you? Get those questions answered. Getting the truth allows you to make the right decision. Let's schedule some time. Your home, our office, or just for coffee. This type of mortgage is not for everyone. Call Steve at 303-885-0254, home of Knowledge in Reverse. That's 303-885-2054. Learn the truth. NMLS 243-2000. Regulated by DORA, equal opportunity lender.
Len Lyle Chevrolet is considered an essential business, and they'll remain open for service, parts, and body work from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, and they're following all the CDC recommendations. Len Lyle Chevrolet wants you to stay safe and will resume sales soon.
David R. Cishon, certified estate planner and registered financial consultant, specializes in working with people who are planning for retirement and retired clients who want to preserve and grow their assets.
Education is the greatest equalizer is my theme. It's always been. More people know, the better their decisions are, the more comfortable they become. So when people come in, we take, some people say, an excessive amount of time learning about the client themselves, who they are, what are their feelings. I don't care how much assets they have. If their assets are important to them, that's critical to me.
Call now for your free consultation with David Cishon of Householder Group, 720-482-1917. That's 720-482-1917. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Householder Group Estate and Retirement Specialist, LLC, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio. If you're just joining us, my name is Scott Watley. We appreciate you being with us. Be sure and check out our website, haystackhelpradio.com. We have combined everything with our referral list, our radio shows, so you can catch any of our past shows there as well, and our podcast. And we appreciate you being with us today. We're going to go to the phones now and talk to Ezra Coopersmith. Ezra is the investigations coordinator for the Denver Better Business Bureau, serving Greater Denver, and I guess kind of the front range, Ezra. So how are you? Thanks for being with us.
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Hey, man, I appreciate you coming on with short notice. I was just, I got notified from a friend last night of a scam where, you know, a lady had hired somebody in their neighborhood to build a fence, and she paid the contractor all up front. He came and did a couple hours worth of work and left and went to go get some supplies and still waiting, never came back. So I was like, man, we got to do some things to help people right now. So I appreciate you coming on.
Unfortunately, that's a common one. Yeah, absolutely.
So take just a minute for, I mean, I think probably most people are familiar with the Better Business Bureau, but take just a minute and kind of tell us, you know, about the Denver BBB and what it is today. And there's a couple of different levels I know companies can be in with the accredited. So just take us through there for a moment.
Absolutely. So, you know, most people probably just know BBB as that organization that rates businesses. And that's true. That's a big part of what we do. But we're a lot more than that. So we're a not-for-profit organization. And our mission is to improve trust in the marketplace between buyers and sellers. So that manifests itself in a lot of different programs. Of course, we do rate businesses so that consumers can have a good idea of what they might experience when, you know, they may be shopping around for a new car or a contractor or whatever it is. But we also have a pretty robust dispute resolution process that ranges from submitting complaints that the business then gets a chance to respond to, and you can have the back and forth. Ranges from that to actual in-person mediations and arbitrations. We also have an advertising review program, an investigations program, which is what I do. So I look into scams and problem businesses. And then we also work with a bunch of community partners, both in the consumer protection space and also in the business world. Right. So we really do a lot, but primarily we're an organization that's there for our community.
Absolutely. And we've worked real close with the Better Business Bureau ever since we started Haystack Help in 2009. So we're very familiar with it, and we certainly push for companies to become a member because I just think it's a good thing for them to do. And, you know, for seven years, I was Jake Jabs, corporate sales manager at American Furniture. And Jake said this about businesses, and I think everybody ought to listen into this. He said, everybody deserves a chance to make something right. So you know what, if you've had a problem with a business, my recommendation, and I'll see if you agree with me, Ezra, is call that business, get with that owner, you know, explain your side of what's going on, but give them a chance to do something right before you put something online about them or, you know, file a complaint with the Better Business Bureau. Just give them that opportunity. And then if they don't and you want to take things further, your free will to do so, but give everybody a chance. Isn't that a good thing to do?
Absolutely. You know, the language that we use is that we are a neutral third party, and that really is accurate. You know, we're not there to bully a business into caving to every demand of somebody who, you know, consumer who might kind of be asking for too much. And we're also not there to just protect a business that is scamming people. Part of our job is to protect consumers from predatory businesses.
Sure.
And then on membership, you know, the thing I'd just say is, you know, along with all the tangible benefits that you get, and I'm not in the business of convincing businesses to sign up, it's really important because we are a nonprofit and our members are the ones who fund all of those programs that I talked about. So consumer protection, dispute resolution, really all that money is going back into the community.
Right. Absolutely. And let me just say this as a business. And again, you know, when people come on and they want to be part of our referral list, usually the first thing I do is look up things with the BBB and see what kind of record they have. And sometimes I have found where they did not, you know, you got a complaint. The business never responded to that complaint. And let me just tell you, if you're a business owner, it's crucial that you respond. Ezra just said it best. They're not saying you have to do everything, you know, that customer's asking. But it shows a lack of caring about that customer if you don't respond. So just make a response because it looks like to me, hey, if I sent you something and you don't care, then hey, then we're going to put something on that says you didn't care about this. So I mean, just respond. Correct?
Absolutely. And as somebody who, you know, at my job in the BBB, I'm often in the position of dealing with businesses who might do something unfair and then just ignore it and ignore the consumer's concerns. It is awesome when you see businesses respond and, you know, to a consumer's complaint. And frankly, that's a big part of, I guess, of the good that consumers see when they look up a business, is that you can see how they resolve complaints. And I think a lot of people, you know, they might read some of the problems that other people have experienced, but nobody expects you to run a business and never have a dissatisfied customer.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of what draws people to the good businesses is, you know, seeing how they resolve those disputes when they inevitably come up.
Sure. Again, Ezra Cooper-Smith is our guest. He is the investigation coordinator for the Denver BBB here. And so let's talk about some of the current scams that you guys are seeing right now. I want to get into some tips kind of too as we get into spring. And hopefully everybody gets back with, you know, dealing with contractors a little bit. But what are some things you're seeing with this coronavirus?
You know, the thing I've just throw out there for people to keep in mind is that often when you fall for a scam, like, yes, there are some scammers that are incredibly clever and they're doing some novel thing, but I think in my experience, more often than not, the reason somebody falls for a scam is because they're in a set of circumstances that lead them to fall for that scam. And unfortunately, the scammer exploits those. So it might be financial insecurity. You know, it might be excitement at this prospect, be it a job or an amount of money that a scammer has dangled over your head. And the really unfortunate thing is that this coronavirus crisis has accelerated all of those things, right? So you have people out of work, you have people who are at home and really scared about their own health, their family members' health. You have people who are really anxious about being able to get their hands on all these essential products that are now really hard to find. And that is just open season for these scammers to exploit those fears using tactics that they were already using.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, well, I mean, that's
okay.
That's really the main point. But right. I can go through some of the types of scams that we're seeing.
Yeah, that's what I'd love to hear. Yeah.
Listeners have a better idea of what to look for. So, you know, one of the ones that I was seeing a lot of this morning are that as people are working from home, we're seeing nationwide more and more IT support scams. And that's something that we see all the time. But again, now that so many people are basically on a computer at home all day rather than at their offices, that gives scammers a better opportunity. So, you know, these are scams where you might get an email and you think it's from your employer saying, hey, the IT company needs to access, you know, your computer briefly to make sure you're all set up.
Gotcha.
Click on this link. And the link is actually, you know, the email came from a scammer. The link takes you somewhere either that's going to put malware on your computer, or kind of the worst case scenario is that it'll let somebody access your desktop. And once they do that, they can steal your personal information. They can steal information that's private for your employer. So it just opens this Pandora box of vulnerability. And then, you know, I could keep going. But
sure, yeah. I'd love to hear a few.
Yeah, so another one, you know, we always see online retail scams. Actually, through our scam tracker program, which is, I can talk about that more later, but it's this online resource we have where consumers can view and report scams in real time. For the past 2 years running, online retail scams, so basically phony online sales, have been the number one most reported scam. Not necessarily where people lose the most money, but the most common scam.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're seeing, as you might expect, is that with all of these goods like toilet paper and face masks that are now in such high demand, there are also scams targeting people who, you know, if you're a scammer and you send out the email, you know that a higher percentage than normal of people are going to be in the market for those products and desperate to get their hands on them. And we're seeing more and more of those scams get reported. You know, miracle cures, health products, there are always those bad actors that are going to tell you, you know, our product, you know, hands down is scientifically proven to get rid of all the wrinkles in your face. Well, that's not true. Or drink this smoothie every day. It's going to give you more energy than you've ever had, and that might not be rooted in any science. Well, now the big medical concern is getting coronavirus or one of your family members getting it. And so, of course, scammers are going to take advantage of that. So that's also something we want people to keep in mind, that anyone offering you basically a miracle cure to this sickness is full of it. They're a scammer.
Right. And, you know, another big thing that, you know, we've had calls on before is what is so-called a free trial. Man, every time, you got to remember, nothing's free. And what happens many times we forget we did that. Then all of a sudden they're billing your card for $30 a month. And some of us, we don't notice that, you know, for a while, if ever. But, I mean, free trials are just never a good thing for the most part, correct?
I mean, it's hit or miss. What you described is absolutely, you know, that's a scam that we see, like, literally weekly. And it's a specific type of free trial. So, you know, I'm not necessarily going to make a blanket statement that free trials are dangerous.
Right, right.
I'd say if you're buying
just,
you know,
be careful.
Or a diet pill online, really make sure that what you're signing up for is just the free trial and you're not also signing up for a product that without your knowledge is now going to start, getting shipped to you every month and you're going to get billed every month until you can finally reach and then cancel.
Sure.
Definitely do some research if you're in the market for one of those products.
Yeah, for sure. Once again, if you're just joining us, Ezra Cooper Smith is joining us. He's an investigations coordinator for the Denver BBB. And if you've got questions, maybe you're a business, you've been thinking about joining, or you want to look up a company, you know, check them out. As I always tell you, we're always glad to let you know what we know about companies here with Haystack Help Radio. But just do your due diligence, because Ezra, anybody can put something on a business card. They can put any kind of stickers on a truck, you know, to say they've been in business 100 years, whatever. Unfortunately, there's no police out there, advertising police, to check all those credentials. So even if they got member of the BBB, people ought to check that out, correct?
Absolutely. So anyone can be a scammer. The other thing I'd add is that anyone can get scammed. So often when we ask people who have fallen for scams sort of about their experience and try to get a sense of why they were victimized, one of the things we hear over and over is, I didn't think I was the type of person who would fall for the scam. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I thought because I was highly educated or I'm financially literate, I was immune and I could smell BS from a mile away. And that's not true. For the most part, everyone is susceptible to scams,
sure,
especially when you're in a heightened emotional state like most of us are right now.
Exactly. And, you know, just real quick, just, you know, I always just say, don't even go to your front door. Somebody's knocking on your front door selling something. Don't even go. If you're not there and you didn't set the appointment, I wouldn't do that. But then be careful of signing things at your front door. A lot of times after storms and all, we have roofings, you know, a lot of people that will canvas the area and they just say, oh, just sign this and we'll crawl up there and give you a free estimate. And what you actually signed was a contract to let them do your roof and to get in touch with your insurance company. So just be very careful about signing things. And then the last thing, and I'm going to run a little over here, but the last thing I want to touch on is just, you know, hopefully the economy is going to get back going here in the next several weeks, and a lot of people will be doing things around their homes and contractors. And unfortunately, there's a lot of good contractors out there, but I'm telling you, with the people taking the hit they are now, I think you are going to see, and we're going to get a lot more calls about different scams, just like I mentioned with this person hiring someone to do a fence, paying them in full, and them never coming back. Just don't do that. You know, you need to get on some kind of payment schedule as they complete certain items. So for that to happen, you've got to have a detailed contract. So take just a couple of minutes here and tell us about some of the tips there for, you know, when you're doing business with contractors.
Yeah, wow, where to start?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I guess the first thing I'd put out there is one of the things that we say a lot at BBB, and it's true, is that anytime you do business with, I won't say a bad company, but with an untrustworthy company, not only are you giving somebody your money who maybe you shouldn't have, but you're also not spending money with a good business. And that's going to be even more important, you know, in the coming weeks and months as, you know, we're entering a period where times are going to be really tough for a lot of small local businesses. So I think now more than ever, it's important to do your research and make sure that you are doing business intentionally with those companies that are really, you know, doing good things in your community as opposed to maybe some of these, like you said, fly-by-night people. Sometimes we call them storm chasers, companies that roll in after, you know, a hailstorm that does a lot of damage to people's roofs and don't actually have the intention of doing the work. So now more than ever, it's important to be intentional with your spending and making sure that it does go to those really good actors in your community. In terms of door-to-door sales, I guess what I'd say is, you know, I can't make a blanket statement that somebody going door-to-door to try and get your business is
yeah, and I'm not saying they're a bad company. I'm just saying be careful.
Well, exactly. On that topic, you do raise a really good point, which is as a consumer, just be aware of the situation that you're in when you're spending money. So, you know, if somebody comes to your door and hands you a contract, keep in mind, if you are trying to read that contract as you're standing right in front of them and they're talking to you and, you know, they only handed it to you a minute ago, you're probably not going to be as careful and intentional as you would be if this is something that you'd put a pause on, you'd researched, you thought about it, you'd maybe ask the advice of somebody else in the industry or somebody who knows what you should be looking for in that kind of a contract, and then sign it.
Right.
So it doesn't mean so you're right. That is absolutely something to be aware of because you should be aware of basically the things that make you more vulnerable to giving money to someone who could be a bad actor.
Absolutely. Well, Ezra, again, I appreciate you coming on short notice today, and stay in touch. You've got my number. If some things come up we need to know, be sure and give me a call, and we'll get you back on.
Anytime. Thanks so much for having me.
All right. That's Ezra Cooper-Smith, Investigations Coordinator for the Denver BBB. We got to take a short break. We'll be back with more right after this. Got a road trip plan for getting ready for your next outdoor adventure? Hi, this is Scott Watley for my friends at D&D Tire Service. At D&D Tire Service in Parker and Aurora, they understand automotive issues can be a headache, and they never come at a convenient time. D&D Tire Service is family-owned and operated and is truly your one-stop shop for all of your automotive needs. All tires are reduced, and for a limited time, there are some great rebates saving you up to $200. From belts to tires, wiper blades, oil changes, D&D Tire Service has you covered. For the location nearest you, call 303-699-7337. That's 303-699-7337. D&D Tire Service is the official auto repair shop of Sportsman of Colorado Radio. Let D&D Tire Service keep you and your family safe on the roads. D&DTireService.com.
The hard part of my job is getting the case ready for trial. The really fun part of my job is going to trial.
Call the personal injury attorney who enjoys going to trial, Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law.
The thing that people need to do when they're talking with lawyers about trials, ask the lawyer that they're talking to whether they like to go to trial or not.
Although most personal injury cases settle outside of the courtroom, you want an attorney who stands ready to represent you at trial.
The reason that we say trial tested, trial ready is because we do enough cases that we are always ready. And it's like anything else, you ride a bike or, you know, you shoot trap. If you do it often, you're still in good regular practice on it. If you do it once a year, not so much.
Trial tested, trial ready. KLZ's personal injury attorney, Kevin Flesh. Call today for a free, no obligation consultation. 303-806-8886. Flesh and Beck Law. They get results.
Have you been considering an RV, or are you looking for a place that will help you keep your RV in top condition? Let me tell you about my friends at Cousins RV. They've got three convenient locations to serve you in Loveland, Wheat Ridge, and Colorado Springs, which includes full parts and service departments at all three locations. Cousins RV is locally owned and operated by Jim Humble and Drew Bryant with over 40 years in the RV industry. Cousins RV offers the top manufacturers in the industry, and they have a huge selection of pre-owned RVs at every price point. Service is key at Cousins RV, and they can handle any repair, even offering a mobile RV service. Hey, we all know accidents can happen, and at Cousins RV, they have their own collision center with a paint booth to fit the largest of RVs. Come to the place that has the best Google reviews from any RV dealer in Colorado and ranks number one in customer satisfaction. Owners Jim and Drew are on site daily. Be sure and let them know you heard about them here on Haystack Help Radio.
Denver's Afternoon Rush. Rush to Reason is coming up at 3. Now, back to Haystack Help Radio.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio. Once again, just be very careful out there, folks. A lot of things going on, and there are a ton of scams. We could have done the whole hour on that, but just be very careful. And if you want to check out about a check out a company, of course, call the BBB. You can check with us here at Haystack Help, and we'll sure do some investigations for you to make sure you get hooked up with great companies. But we highly recommend just go to our referral list at haystackhelpradio.com. Well, good to have my good friend John Orvez back on with us. John's been a good friend for a number of years, and he is a volunteer firefighter out in Sedalia and first responder and also a licensed gun dealer. He's got his FFL. So, John, first of all, thanks for being with us. How are you, sir?
Doing good, Scott. Thanks for having me on the show.
Man, you covered it all. You're doing everything a kid wanted to be, a fireman, first responder, a gun dealer. Man, you got it covered.
You got to live life to the fullest, Scott. Otherwise, what's the point?
Absolutely. Hey, well, I appreciate you taking a few minutes. And, man, I know you're involved a lot, you know, of course, with firearms, which we're going to talk about a little bit later here. But I just wanted to get with you as a first responder. And first of all, thank you for doing that. And, you know, that word volunteer sticks out. So it's like, man, people are saying, why would you want to run into something that could be dangerous for you? And that's what we always say. You know, the police and firemen, they're running into the problem when others are running away. But talk about just a minute, what made you do that?
You know, it's interesting for me. It just started off with wanting to help people, which is a pretty simple answer, I guess, but really it didn't need to be much more than that. I would drive by car accidents, and I would see people hurt, and I would wonder, you know, is there something I can do to help out in that situation? And I would hear about people having to call 911 for various emergencies and just wonder about the type of person who is 911, who responds to that call and who answers that. And to me, it was scary, but I decided to go ahead and make the leap and just do it. And I'll tell you, it's been a life-changing decision. I wouldn't trade it for the world. And it has defined who I am as a person.
Yeah, and we definitely just want to say a huge thank you to all the first responders out there, men, women, policemen, firemen, I mean, everybody that's out there in that first responder area for us. So, John, let's talk a little bit about this coronavirus that has just overtaken our world. I'm telling you, I think if you'd have told any of us, you know, 5 or 6 weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, we would be where we are today. Maybe 2 weeks ago, we would have said, no way. And, man, here we are.
Yeah, it is really something. It kind of came out of left field for us, but I like to think we're fairly well prepared for it. I think the country is coming together under strong leadership of President Trump, and I do appreciate the local governments stepping up to do their parts as well with the shelter-in-place orders and trying to encourage people not to spread it. And, you know, we're all being slammed by the media barrage from the talking heads on TV, you know, and the so-called experts, the online experts, or I like to call them keyboard warriors, that are dispensing all these things that you can supposedly do to help reduce your risk, or some of them are even making outlandish claims of curing it. And it's important you know the facts. And there's things you can actually do today, right now, that will actually give you not only a fighting chance against COVID-19, but really any illness. And you can get all the testing in the world and take all the experimental drugs in the world. But something as simple as staying hydrated can be a life or death difference. And that is something you can do today, but it's often ignored.
Absolutely. John Orvis is our guest. And as I mentioned, John's a volunteer firefighter out in Sedalia and first responder. So let's just talk about staying healthy here. What are you seeing out there as you guys make calls, you know, as you're out and about each day?
Yeah, so, you know, a lot of the calls that first responders are dealing with all over this country right now, of course, are people calling up saying, hey, I don't feel well. I have some symptoms. I think I might have this virus. And that really puts a lot of taxing times on those responders because they have to go out. They have to kind of screen these people. And often it's relatively mild symptoms and something that you can treat right at home. So we're strongly encouraging folks, you know, we understand that you're scared, but at the same time, try to call us when it's serious. If you really, and you'll know when it's serious. You'll know the difference between I just don't feel well and I can't feel like I can't breathe or I feel like I can't speak, maybe more than one or two words at a time. Those are great times to call us because we will come out and help. But unfortunately, a lot of the stuff that they're seeing also has to do with preventable things. Again, back to hydration, we got a ton of people that are just severely dehydrated, which 75% of the United States actually is severely dehydrated. So that's a pretty staggering number when you look at it. And these folks, because they're so dehydrated, their body's immune system can't react and defend them the way it normally would. So they've really set themselves up for failure. It doesn't matter if it's COVID-19 or any illness, maintaining that, you know, approximately 12 to 15 8-ounce glasses of water a day, that's vital stuff. Just that simple step could mean the difference of you sitting it out at home or you sitting on a respirator in an emergency center somewhere that's already overwhelmed.
Sure. And, you know, with a lot more people, although, man, it's kind of weird. You look at the list of all the essential businesses, man, it's huge. And I'm like, who is staying home then? You know, because, I mean, man, there's a lot of exceptions to that. But no doubt there are going to be more people at home. You know, kids are out of school, all that. So just some safety stuff just around the house, too, because, number one, there's going to be more people there for longer during the day, a lot of bored kids out there. So talk about just maybe just some general safety things at home.
Yeah, you know, that's a huge one, Scott. We got so many people that are spending so much extra time at home. A lot of them are starting to go stir crazy. They are starting to do some pretty creative things that could maybe be putting them at risk. So some of the simple things people can do now that we're spring cleaning, making sure those chemicals, when you're done using them, make sure they're locked back up and secure away from vulnerable people. And when you're trying to reach that upper cupboard, maybe you're cleaning off the top of the refrigerator, use a stepladder. Don't stand on a chair. It's really tragic that in times like this, people tend to do preventable things, and that's what ends up landing them in the hospital. And realistically, if you end up in the hospital, again, you've strained the first responders, you've strained the hospital, and now you've exposed yourself to a potentially contagious illness. And you couple that in with the 75% dehydration fact I gave you earlier, and you've got a recipe for preventable disaster.
Man, have you been watching me or something? Why do guys, you know, we always think, you know, my wife, she's the preparer, man, put this down, get this out of the way, set the area for what you're doing, you know, and I've got one leg on one chair, one leg on a table, trying to screw in a light bulb or something. So, yeah.
Yeah.
We all got to be careful.
Well, one other thing, too, is I hear all these cool ideas that people are coming up with for when they're sitting at home, things they can do with their family. I would be lacking if I didn't point out a great game that you can play with your family. Really, anybody can play it. Look around your home for safety hazards and call them out. Even if you took and had everybody in the family go out and find one or two or three safety hazards in your home and address them, you will be amazed how quickly they add up. And each one of those was a near miss.
Sure. And, you know, we were talking earlier just even about a simple thing like extension cord. You got a lot more people home now. A lot of, you know, maybe you got three or four kids, they got to plug in their computers now. They got to plug in their games, all the different things. So people are probably going to be using a lot more extension cords because they just didn't need all those plugs 24/7 like they are today. So, I mean, that's always a big fire hazard, isn't it?
That is, yeah. Making sure that those cords are unplugged when things aren't in use is also another big one. You know, you may play all day long and have multiple video consoles plugged into one extension cord, and that cord's been heating up throughout the day. Maybe you've been walking across it, so now it's frayed. You know, if you let something like that go unattended overnight, that could turn into a fire situation while you're asleep. And that's a good time to also remind you, you should be putting fresh batteries in your smoke detectors, your carbon monoxide detectors, and replacing them if they're more than 10 years old, because they do have a shelf life. They're just like anything else that we buy. They are a consumable, and they're consumable to make the difference between you making it out alive or not.
Right. And, John, what do you see, you know, when emergency vehicles, you know, it amazes me sometimes, you know, I'll see a siren, you know, you get over to the right and everything, but you get some people that just freeze kind of, they just stay in the middle lane or they go left. I mean, what do you see out there, people, and maybe give us some tips as, you know, when we see that emergency vehicle, you know, what to do?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a huge one, Scott, because there's so many people that have been struck in scenes, accident scenes. And it's amazing. And it was something when I first started driving fire engines and I'm responding with the lights and sirens, I couldn't believe how many people just sat there in front of me. And I wondered what must be going through their head. And it took me a little while, but I finally figured it out. Most of the time, the radio is so loud, they can't even hear that I'm behind them. So I always tell people, try to leave the window cracked, leave the stereo down a little bit, stay alert, check your mirrors. And when you do see an emergency vehicle, slow down and move over. And the same thing goes for when you're going through an emergency scene. It astonishes me how fast people tend to go. Just slow down, move over, give us a little bit of room, give us a break. You would want us to be there at our best if it was your loved one in that scene. So give us everything we need to be able to do that job safely.
Gotcha. John Orvez is with us. If you just joined us, John is a volunteer firefighter out in Sedalia, also first responder there, and also a licensed gun dealer. He's got his FFL and known John for a number of years now. So, John, let's talk a little bit about what we're seeing with gun sales. I mean, man, that's something I saw just the other day, and it said over the week, and I'm not going to say when that week started, but last week they took a seven-day period, and they said there was over 25,000 background checks done compared to that same week last year, a little over 7,000. So ammo, gun sales are just going through the roof. What are you attributing that to?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people that are just scared, and there's also a lot of people that are wondering who's going to be there for them should society start to fall apart. Whatever the reasoning is for folks to go out and buy these firearms and buy these ammunition. I certainly encourage firearm ownership, obviously, but I also encourage making sure that you're trained and educated. So there's more to it than just running down to the gun store, buying a gun, buying some ammo, and then just going back home. But the hard part is right now, because of the isolation, the social isolating that we're doing, you can't go out and get the training that you need. So, yeah, we are seeing record levels of sales, and I do have some caution and do worry about folks that have no idea, quite frankly, what they're into with it. So,
sure.
That's
and a lot of people I've talked to said they can tell in the conversations they're having with the people buying guns, they feel like a big percentage of this group buying right now are first-time gun owners.
Yeah, they definitely are. I'm still in touch with several local dealers, and I've been talking to them about what they're seeing. A lot of them have communicated that the volume of people is so great that they're not quite having as much time as they might normally have to sit down and kind of ask some qualifying questions of these folks to kind of gauge the level of comfort and their level of understanding. And there's also, quite frankly, a lot of people who are nervous and they don't want to ask the questions just because of the fact that they don't want to come across as being a novice or somehow jeopardize the sale. So, you know, the biggest thing I can tell people when this is over, you need to go out, get training. You need to stay proficient. But in the meantime, because that's really what matters, just the three simple rules of gun safety. Treat every gun as if it was loaded. Never point the gun at anything you don't intend to destroy, and keep your finger off the trigger until you're ready to shoot. You know, if you follow those three simple steps, you're going to be much better off than if you just have a loaded gun in your home and no idea how to use it.
Sure. And, of course, this time, you know, as we just said, more people in the house. Do some good training there with your kids and let them know about gun safety. I mean, guns are not a bad thing, but, you know, there's probably going to be a lot of friends coming over to different kids' houses, no matter what the government says to do. They, you know, they're just going to do that.
Right.
And so just make sure you keep guns locked up and safe, and but also train your kids.
Yeah, absolutely. I know that's vital, making sure your kids aren't surprised that you have a firearm in the house. You want to be the one that shows them that it's there. You want to be the one that takes them out shooting so that they can see it and understand it and separate that media falsehood that's out there where, you know, guns have no recoil, they barely go bang, and often people get shot 100 times and live. Our heroes certainly do. So, you know, it's something that you really need to demystify that and to show the kids. You don't want the first time they find that firearm to be when they're alone and you're not there. That's not the time for them to be curious about it.
Sure. Now, that red flag bill went into effect. We saw a couple instances on this. Tell me a little bit of your insights of what you've seen and what you've heard about the red flag bill.
Well, you know, I was kind of not surprised to see that it was, I think, abused in the first 2 or 3 hours since it came out. We
right.
We immediately heard about the abuse with it, and that was really a big concern that I had from the beginning when they start talking about red flags. And look, I'm all for, you know, better laws, better rules, better regulations that can help society, but I worry sometimes that we're taking some shortcuts to try to answer that immediate issue that we have of a fear of the unknown and how do we contain this. So when the red flag bill came out, we were suddenly faced with this no due process, an accusation can result in you being disarmed. Literally a stalker could come out and say, you know, hey, I'm in a relationship with this person and they're danger to themselves. Then you're disarmed and now you really are vulnerable. So I've always felt uncomfortable with the idea of disarming a disturbed person. And I've often wondered, why aren't we actually helping the disturbed person? Somewhere to put them, some treatment to give them. Because if I take the gun away, Scott, they're going to get another one. They're going to get a car. They're going to get a knife. They're going to get a club. They're still disturbed.
Right. Absolutely. Hey, I just got a text in here, and someone's asking about, you know, you mentioned going by an accident and wanting to help. And
yep.
They're kind of asking, what are the legalities of that? So, you know, I pull over, I see someone, I drag them out of a car, and all of a sudden, you know, they were alive kind of when I pulled them out, then they die, or I move them wrong, and
sure.
they go, you know, they're paralyzed.
Yeah.
I mean, what are the deals as far as citizens helping people like that in accidents?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. I mean, the first thing that we learn as firefighters is our own safety is actually number one. So that's the first thing. Before you're ever going to consider getting involved in helping somebody on the side of the road, take a moment to make sure what we call the scene is safe. You want to make sure that that car is not going to roll away and run you over, or potentially it's on fire and going to explode. You know, look, obviously if somebody is burning alive in a vehicle, if you feel that you can get them out of that vehicle, that might be the best decision for you, but do understand that risk that you run. There is a Good Samaritan law in the state of Colorado, so you're not going to be held liable for any reasonable means to attempt to help them.
Right.
And that obviously, that doesn't cover going up and intentionally harming them. But if you truly are trying to help them, you are going to be covered by that. But if they're just in their vehicle, they've been in a wreck, there's no sign of immediate danger, your best bet's going to be to call 911, get folks out there who know how to get them stabilized and get them moved out of that vehicle. You certainly don't want to cause a secondary preventable issue out of just trying to help out.
Sure. Well, a couple minutes left here, but just as a citizen of Colorado, businessman in Colorado, what are your best guesses on when things will get back to somewhat we used to know as normal? Or do you think we won't see that for a long time, if ever?
We probably won't see it quite return to normal. Some good things I think we're going to see come out of this is just like after 9/11, America really came together. There was a strong unity, a strong sense of pride. And I think people are going to be a little bit more aware about making sure they keep their hands clean and taking some basic precautions that maybe they've been taking for granted for, you know, the past X number of years.
Sure.
For me, I do think that this work from home thing, I used to work from home quite a bit, and I used to be far more productive when I worked from home than I went into the office. So I bet you employers are going to take note of that. You know, a lot of times they've been hesitant to even try it just because of the fact that they weren't sure that it would work and that it would result in reduced efficiency. Now that they're being forced to do it, they're really seeing, hey, this can work. And I think that could really help people focus on their home as well in life and not just the office. And I think that's a better quality of life. That's the type of America I want to live in.
Sure. John Orvez is with us once again. If you're just joining us, John is a volunteer firefighter out in Sedalia, first responder, also has his FFL, licensed gun dealer. And I'm telling you, it's interesting times for sure, man. And I mean, it just seems like, you know, every day with every news conference, something went from zero to 100. And I think that's what kind of threw everybody in these, you know, the panic situation. Now, I still don't understand the toilet paper. I have to be honest.
No one understands the toilet paper.
But through everything in just such a panic, and you know, with the grocery stores and the, you know, and I mean, I wish the restaurants, they could have said, hey, if you seat 100, go to 50. If you seat 25, you know, go to 12. Whatever. I mean, to kind of take some stages. But hey, we want everybody to be safe, and sure feel bad for all those that have the virus or have family members and or are sick. You know, man, none of us want that. So hopefully, like you said, all of this will start rolling here and everybody will do a little better job, and we'll see this thing turn around here hopefully by Easter, as our president said.
Yeah, I've got high hopes for it, Scott. I think we're going to be okay. We just have to weather through these difficult times. But so far what I've seen has been an amazing response. Amazing community. Everybody's really come together from a social distance, of course, and are there to support each other. So that's the big message I want to send. We're out facing it every day in the front lines, and it's okay. Tomorrow is going to be there. The sun is going to rise, and together we're going to get through it.
Yep, absolutely. Well, John, hey, man, again, thank you for doing what you do out there in Sedalia and for helping people, and we'll do this again.
Sounds good, Scott. Thanks for having me.
All right, that's John Orvez. Thank you for joining us today. I want to thank all of our guests for being with us, but most of all, thank you. Hope you have a great rest of your day, and leave it right here on KLZ 560.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.